That. I appreciate I could hear every word. Amen. Every word. It's important. And thank God. Got through the earwax. Amen. That's good. So in about AD 714, the Assyrian Empire, which was a great empire, had nearly swallowed up the Middle East. There's an empire right now that's similar, that's trying to swallow up the Middle East, the Persian or Iranian Empire. But this was the Assyrian Empire, and they were in a similar location trying to swallow up the Middle East from east to west. In 722 BC, for instance, they had defeated the 10 northern tribes of the nation of Israel, who had turned their backs on God and on the Bible. Israel, you know, is God's chosen people, and but they had left God. They left his law, and he allowed Sennacherib, that was the guy's name, the king of Assyria, to bring them into captivity. Kind of reminds me of our country. Turn our back on God, turn our back on the Bible, and we're now in captivity. Not to Russia, not to China per se, but to a globalist cabal of guys like Bill Gates, George Soros, and other evil, wicked people like Hillary Clinton and so forth. Now, only Judah was left as a remnant to remain as the small chosen nation to stand against this mighty empire under Sennacherib that had not been defeated at all in any war. He beat everybody up. Wow. And he had words that he spoke through his general to the people of Judah. And he sent his general to tell them, you would be smart to surrender to me, make peace with me, go along with me and throw out your Bible and throw out your faith in the Lord and go along with me and you'll be peaceful. Everything will be nice and we will give you all the food you want, all the medical care you want, all the peace you want, all the prosperity you want, you know. And at least he was offering them more than the globalists under Klaus Schwab have offered. He said, basically, you'll be eating bugs and you'll be happy. And you won't own anything and you'll be happy. That's what they're telling us today. And there's a mark of the beast coming where everybody can't buy or sell unless you get a mark on your hand and forehead. And if you go along with the mark of the beast, you'll be prosperous. Everything will be fine. If you don't, you won't be able to eat. You won't be able to get groceries. I mean, that's what's happening in our day, and we're getting very close.
That's right.
Very close. And of course, behind the pride of this man, Sennacherib, and the general Rabshakeh that was speaking for him, behind the pride and the threatening that they gave of this Assyrian Empire, you know who was behind this? The Prince of Darkness.
That's right.
You know who the Prince of Darkness is? Satan. You say, do you believe in Satan? Absolutely, I believe in Satan. He's the most powerful being created by God. And he's turned against God. And he's cunning and crafty. And he was behind this. And he was threatening God's little country, Judah, and the remnant that was left, the people of Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes. And likewise, I believe that Satan today is seeking to psych you out in 2024. If you're committed to the Lord Jesus, if you're committed to the Bible, if you're committed to the good news about Jesus Christ, that you can have your sins forgiven and you could go to heaven, he is against you. He does not like you. He hates you.
Right.
And back then, Hezekiah and his people, with the help of the Word of God through the prophet Isaiah, they were able to survive a great siege of their little country and of their capital city of Jerusalem. And after they survived that siege, listen to me, they were able to thrive under God with God's blessing. Can I say to you that you too can survive all the evil attacks of Satan and his helpers? And then you too can thrive by actually getting through that time of attack and then resisting Satan, and then you can thrive. And I want to preach this morning a message that goes along with our business year, 2025, the theme of our business year. But the name of my message this morning is, listen, survive to thrive in 2025. Survive to thrive. And I'd like to take just the verses from verse 28 through 31 of Isaiah 37. And I want to say three things about surviving to thrive in 2025. Number one, because of God's protective power. You can survive to thrive, listen to me, in 2025 because of God's protective power. And I'd like you, first of all, to read with me just silently. I'll read it out loud. Verse 28, it says there, but I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in. And thy rage against me. You know, this is God speaking. God says, Sennacherib, you think you're big? I know all about you. In fact, I prophesied through my prophets that I would give you the power that I've given you. And all these nations that you think you've defeated, and you've defeated their gods, you only can do it because I've given you the strength to do it. If I take my hand away from you, you will go down just like that. By the way, boy, do we need to understand that. God is not macho. God does not get up and blow and huff and puff and all of that. God is working behind the scenes. But don't ever think that God is not more powerful than Satan. He made Satan. Satan is God's devil. You say, well, he's doing a whole lot, Satan. I see him. Yeah, God's allowing him to do it. He's allowing him to do it. Have you noticed God's people, Israel, how they're taking out leaders of certain terrorist organizations? How many of you know that they took out, after Benjamin Netanyahu spoke in the UN, they took out Hassan Nasrallah. How many of you know they took him out? They took him out. He's gone. He huffed and he puffed and said, I'll blow your house in Israel. And God says, bing. You're gone. God can take you out like that. He can take me out like that. And so I'm just saying that if you're going to survive to thrive in 2025, it's going to be because of God's protective power. And God says here in verse number 28, but I know thy abode, thy going out, thy coming in, thy rage against me. And I'm just saying he understands that. You know, in Daniel, the book of Daniel, there was a guy called the Prince of Persia. How many have heard of the Prince of Persia? In the Hebrew, it's Sar Paras. The Prince of Persia. And here was a mighty angelic being, no doubt under Satan, one of his top generals. And that mighty being hated Israel because Israel was God's chosen people. and so he hindered the messenger that was sent from the Lord in heaven to get to Daniel, to give Daniel the revelation. And it took him three weeks to get there because of this Sar Paras. And you know what? People come and go. Kings come and go. But these angelic beings go on and on. That guy, the Prince of Persia, he's still over there right now. Have you noticed that Persia or modern day Iran hates Israel? And they tried to attack them through Hamas, through Hezbollah. They tried to attack them through the Quds force. And the leaders have been taken out by Israel. They have taken these people out. And I'm just saying to you that Satan is behind this because he hates the Jewish people and he wants to get rid of them. By the way, can I tell you something? Anything that God loves and sets his love on, Satan hates. God chose Israel and Satan hates Israel. You know where anti-Semitism comes from? Hatred of Jews that you see in our college campuses, that you see in the world and has happened over and over. It comes from Satan. And it's because Satan hates the Jews. Why does he hate the Jews? Because he knows that God's plan is that a Jewish king is going to reign over the world when Israel accepts him as their Messiah. They haven't done it yet, but they will do it, and Satan knows it. So his goal has been to kill all the Jews off. And he doesn't like you if you're saved and you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ either. He doesn't like you, and he hates you. Why? Because God has set his love upon you. But listen to me. I want to say he shows that. And by the way, when I saw Donald Trump come down the escalator in 2015 with his beautiful wife, how many of you saw that or saw a tape of that? I saw it. I kind of laughed. I thought, he thinks he's running for president? Ha ha. He's not going to win president. And then as I began to watch, I began to realize something. He wouldn't be somebody I would choose as a Sunday school teacher here. But I didn't choose him to be the president. God did. And he became the president.
Right.
He beat Hillary. And then I started seeing him try to dismantle this satanic New World Order, this globalist system. I saw him taking steps to do that. And as Brother Bobby said, to give freedom and say we should have freedom of speech in the pulpit, which is right. We should have it anywhere, our First Amendment.
Right.
I began to see that since he did that, my Satan has attacked him, and satanic people have attacked him. And ever since he came down that escalator, then he won the election. They tried to spy on his campaign. They tried to indict him. They accused him of Russian collusion. They tried to impeach him once. They tried to impeach him twice. They tried so many things against him, you see. And then when that didn't work, guess what? They tried to put him in jail. First president ever to try to put in jail. And they got all these charges. And then when that didn't work, guess what? Now they're trying to kill him. But do you notice something? When he turned his head, what was that when it hit his ear? That was God. What was that when that golfer was taken out? That guy in the golf course, not a golfer, but it was a shooter. He was taken. That was God. I am saying to you this morning, you can survive to thrive because of God's protective power. And the Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know why it says resist the devil? Because if you, listen to me, I have a great invitation for you. If you yield to God in the Holy Spirit and you say, God, use my life. And I'm talking to believers now. You're born again. You say, God, use my life, and then you let him use you. And you begin to tell people the gospel. The devil's going to hit you every which way to Friday. You know, I was thinking of one of our members, Diane Payone, over here. She yielded her life to God, to be used of God, to get the gospel out. She yielded her life to God, and she's been hit and hit and hit and hit. And hit. I was talking to her this week, and she had so many problems, I couldn't even describe them all. And I was like, wow, here is somebody that is right up here, top shelf, and yet it's getting hit more than anybody. But didn't that happen to the Apostle Paul? Didn't that happen to the apostles? The Corinthians, you know, they were having a good old life, and he said, I wish I was reigning in the millennium like you guys. He said, we're just going through it. We're getting hit. Submit yourself, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And you know what? I believe that God's going to bring her through, and I believe that the devil hits, but then he retreats again. And so I'm saying she can survive to thrive when the devil retreats because of God's protective power. And I want you to notice verse 29 under this heading. Look what it says. I'll read it. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. You know what God's talking about? You ever wear a hook in your nose? Don't do that. Because that's a negative thing. God is saying, I'm going to put my hook in your nose and then I'm going to pull on it. I suggest you don't do that. He said, I'm going to do that to you. You know, you Sennacherib, you think you're so powerful, I'm going to put my hook in your nose, put one down your lip, and pull you. And, you ever caught a fish? You see a fish? You know, hook, you know. And God said, I'm going to do that. And he says, because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up, I'm going to do that. And God is saying he's going to stop the king of Assyria in his plan to swallow up his remnant nation, that little nation of Judah in the days of King Hezekiah. God is saying he's going to delay Satan's timeline. Satan wanted to erase the nation Judah. They already got rid of Israel. And eventually, Satan was going to accomplish it. God was going to let him erase the nation Judah from the land. Not from existing, but from the land. That's what Satan wanted to do. And God was going to allow him to do it. But listen, God said because of Hezekiah, because of his faith, because of Isaiah and his preaching, I am going to delay the judgment of America. I mean, of Israel and Judah, actually. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I believe God's going to do that with America. Not because of America. America has really left God. Wickedness all over the land. Sodomy. By the way, God's against that.
That's right.
Sodomy. You say, what's sodomy? Well, you know it as homosexuality. God's against it. God didn't make Adam and Eve. I mean, God did make Adam and Eve. Sorry. God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. And I'm just saying that when you go against God, he will do things to get your attention. He's done that in America. And I believe it's a man like Hezekiah who stood in the gap and a prophet like Isaiah that God is going to spare this nation. I believe our church, we're not a huge church, but every church is big in God's sight. And we have been standing. And that's why I believe I was asked to lead in prayer at the Trump rally and meet Donald Trump. Because I believe God raised our church up to turn Lackawanna, Luzerne County red. Not Republican red primarily, but with the red blood of Jesus Christ. Because if a person gets washed in the blood of Jesus, they'll know what to do. But I believe God's raised us up and to pray for our government and to pray that God would delay the devil's timeline. I believe that's why I prayed for Donald Trump and I got to meet him and shake his hand. And he asked me to do a favor that we're doing. And I appreciate that. I'm just saying this morning that I'm asking God to delay Satan's timeline for America and to help us to bring in the harvest of people that will get saved. And by the way, can I say you're here today? You could have been dead already. Something could have happened to you, but you're here today because God doesn't want you to die and go to hell for your sins. Your good works won't keep you out of hell. Going to church even won't keep you out of hell. You need to be saved by the Lord today. And the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, and rose again, and is inviting you now to put your faith in him to save you. And I suggest you do that. In fact, he commands you to do it, or you'll be lost forever. And so it's so important. And I want you to get saved. You know, my wife just told me about God's preservation. Our oldest daughter, she has a homeschooling thing, and she has thing called Fresh Air Kids, and she has homeschool kids and brings them out in the fresh air and does things for homeschool kids, and she heads that up. She started that thing. So she was down in Florida just the other day, and she had them out to the ocean, and they were doing swimming out there in the ocean and so forth. Well, that hurricane had been kicking up, you know, and she saw a mother out there with her two kids, and the mother was frantically trying to get the kids to the rocks where they could navigate because the ocean was just bringing them out. And my daughter just jumped in to help them, you know, and she got out there and helped to push the mother, and the mother pushed the kids, and they got on the rocks. And then my daughter was thinking she could swim to the rocks, but she said it just couldn't happen. It was just taking her. The current was just taking her. It was too powerful. She tried to swim. The mother tried to help her, but she couldn't. And she went back on the rocks to stay with her kids. And she was just out there. And finally, she was just like, I'm going to die. This is it. And her youngest son, Chess, you know, Chesapeake, youngest son, he saw his mom out there. He said, I got to save my mom. And he's going out there, a little kid trying to save his mom. And some adult lady grabbed my grandson and held him. You know, you can't go out there. And he's like, my mom is dying. And the lady called 911, said, we got an emergency here. But it would have been too late. My daughter was giving up. She said, it was over, and I couldn't fight it anymore. And just then, as she was saying that, a guy paddled up next to her in a surfboard, pulled her up on a surfboard, and put her over in the rocks. And then his dad was a surfer guy, and he helped to transport these ladies in and the kids in from the rocks. I'm talking about God's protection. It's you surviving to thrive in 2025 because of God's protective power. I pray that for Sister Diane. I pray that for others of you that are on the front line serving God and you go through hits from Satan. And I'm glad Satan, you know, he wants to hit us, but God also builds a hedge around us. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. You know, God builds a hedge around me. I've been hit by Satan more than once, but also I've been protected by God more than once. And I can say this, that I am here preaching to you behind this pulpit because I've been able to survive. And I believe it's so that God will push back the enemy's timeline. And we can still thrive as a country and be blessed as a country and as a church to win the war in Scranton and to win people to Jesus Christ. And survive to thrive because of God's protective power for you. Secondly, because of God's prophetic pattern for you. I want you to look at verse 30 and one verse. I'll read it. You follow. And this shall be a sign unto thee, he said. Ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself. And the second year that which springeth of the same. And in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. Now, what's God saying there? He's given a prophecy through the prophet Isaiah for King Hezekiah to help him to know that you can survive to thrive because of God's prophetic pattern for you, God's prophetic plan for you. And you know what? It was very interesting because what he's saying is here that in the first year, you're going to eat that which grows all by itself. You're going to eat food that grows all by itself, like wild food. You're just going to grow wild. You're going to eat wild food. How many of you have eaten off wild berries, like raspberries and stuff? Yeah, you've done that. I've done that. Sure. Now, we Americans, we're not used to that. We're used to going to the grocery store. What would you do if you couldn't get any food at the grocery store? I mean, wow. It'd be tough. But he said, you know, you're going to eat that which grows of itself. And the second year, you're going to eat that which grows from that which grows of itself. So you're going to have 2 years where you're going to be able to get food that way. You say, well, why did they need to get food that way? Why couldn't they just go out and plant their crops in the fields and harvest them and bring in a harvest and have a farmer's market, and which they usually used to do? Well, because the Assyrian army under that wicked king surrounded the city of Jerusalem, so they couldn't go in and out. In fact, he said to them, you're going to drink your own piss and eat your own dung. That's how mean he was. That's what he said right in the Bible. And so he surrounded them, and it was really bad. And they couldn't go out to plant crops. So that's the way they ate it. They sustained themselves that way for 2 years. But he said, now in the third year, you're going to go out and be able to plant in the fields. And then after you have all that in the food in the field and it grows and you go through it, you'll be at the end of the third year, you'll be able to eat from what you planted. Well, why could they go back in the field at the beginning of the third year during the springtime? Well, because, listen to this, God saw this 185,000 man army that was surrounding them, and God sent, get this, one angel of the Lord. One angel and he killed them all those men. One angel. That's how powerful God is. He killed them all. I don't know who the angel was, but God could take a private, you know, Clarence he could take. You know, I don't care. He could take any angel. And that angel was so powerful, it killed those men. And therefore, they could go out now and plant their food and let it grow and harvest it. And at the end of the third year, at the harvest time, they had their food. So I'm saying they could survive to thrive because of God's prophetic plan. God told them what he was going to do. And you know what? I've seen God do that in our church. In fact, I remember reading this scripture when we went through a time like this in our church. You say, "Well, what are you talking about?" Well, we had a time in our church where we went through a similar time to this, and you say, "Well, what happened during that similar time?" Well, we had a time when we had from 1986 to 1996, we were filled with the Holy Spirit. We were going out telling people about Jesus. We had three buses going. One year we had 276 people baptized in 1996. And Satan said, "I do not like this at all. I'm going to hit this church." And he started to hit us, and the Bible says this. He says, "Wherefore take unto you the armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." In other words, if you're going to hit Satan like we were doing from 1986 to 1996, you better be ready for your defense for Satan to hit you back. Right, Diane? You're going to get hit back. I don't believe she's being chastened. She's being hit. And God's allowing it for a purpose. And our church, we got hit. We got hit back. And when that happened, we had in 1996 a bunch of people left and pulled out and quit. We lost not only people in 1996, but the people that stuck with us for part of the siege began to dwindle down, and we finally got down to one bus driver and one bus left, and that person left. They left. They got pulled away by Satan. They left. By God's grace, we survived that siege in 1997, 1998, 1999. You say, what happened during that time from 1997? Well, for one thing, we kept the lights on. We had enough money to keep the lights on in the building, but I didn't have enough money to get paid. And I had a family of six kids, and I had groceries and everything else. At one time, I had to get five different jobs to feed my family and pay the bills. But I determined, you know what? I'm going to not let money determine where I pastor. I'm going to let the will of God determine it. And God never told me to leave. And you say, what are you saying? What up? The prophecies of the Word of God, the Word of God. That helps me to stay put. When things get tough, that'll help you to stay put. And I had my eyes on Jesus, and that helped me to stay put. And so we kept going, and we survived, and we went through that time. And we didn't get paid for 3 years. And it was tough, but God helped us to survive so later on we could thrive. And I'm just saying, survive to thrive because of God's prophetic pattern for you. And by the way, that is in the Bible. The Bible says that Joshua and Caleb, they were Israelites, and they had reported that God would give the people the promised land if they would just believe God. But the other spies said, no, there are giants in the land. The land's a good land, but we can't have it. There are too many giants. And Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, but God will kill the giants. You just believe God. And guess what? The people believed the other spies. They didn't believe Joshua and Caleb, and they voted against them. And so God said, okay, you're not going into the land now. And they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Guess what? Joshua and Caleb survived 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And all those other people didn't survive. They died out. By the way, can I tell you, if you don't believe in Jesus, you won't survive? You say, what are you talking about? You'll die and go to hell. You say, Pastor, why would you preach like that? Because I love you. And I don't want you to die and go to hell. And so I want you to turn to the Lord and admit you've been sinning and going the wrong way and that you need to be saved. You say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, Satan is prideful. He doesn't want you to admit your sin. But you have to admit your sin to get saved and admit that you deserve hell and that you can't save yourself by being a good person. That's prideful too. Oh, I could be a good person. My good will outweigh my bad. No, it won't. And so I'm just saying that we were able to go through that time and survive because we'd been saved by the Lord and the Lord was protecting us. Protecting us physically. And you know what? In our church, that happened. And guess who were the Joshua and Caleb? Pastor and Deacon Joe. And we're still here. Like Joshua and Caleb. All those other people, you know, died out in Israel. But we're here. And what I'm trying to say to you is that I believe that we're here because God wants us to survive so that we as a church can thrive. By the way, Donald Trump is still here. Thank God for that. Don't take it for granted. Pray for him. They're trying to kill him. Mark my words, they're trying to kill him. They'll do it again. Try to do it again. God stopped them from doing it. Why? Listen, I'm saying that these people, they know if he does get in there, he's going to cause them trouble. And so they fight against it. And the devil will fight against you because he knows that you're leading people to the Lord and leading people down the aisle to get baptized and profess their faith in the Lord. And so he wants you to survive, to thrive. That's his prophetic plan that he has for your life. And we know that we need to take the armor of God to be protected. But I want to say one more thing, and that is survive to thrive because of God's producing through you. Look with me at verse 31. I'll read it. You follow. It says, "And the remnant that's escaped to the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." Then God's prophecy through Isaiah spoke of thriving after a time of surviving. He said, the remnant has escaped, but you're going to take root downward and bear fruit upward. Notice, first of all, that a time of thriving is prophesied to a remnant of people. A remnant is a small group of people that will go through this time of being preserved and will thrive after being preserved. Thank God for that. By the way, when I couldn't be paid for those 3 years, I kept all those jobs. Our deacon, Brother Joe Sabodnik, wanted to give me back pay for that time I had missed. And so he was listening on Christian radio and somebody was getting rid of a barn. And he paid to get the barn moved onto his property. And the barn was free. And so by the time he sold the barn and the barn wood from that property, all told, he made a profit of $21,000. Now, a lot of people say, boy, I'm going to take that profit and maybe tithe $2,100 to the Lord. Not Joe. He gave 100% of it to the church. And it was used to pay me back for that 3 years of back pay. And then we started looking at the stained glass windows, and we said, where in the Bible do you have to have stained glass windows? I don't see it. And so we decided to sell the stained glass windows. Not all of them. We left a couple at the top. But we sold them because we wanted to keep going. And we got a profit of about $18,000 from that by putting these windows in. You say, well, why'd you use that for? So we could do God's work. We even had a big pipe organ up there eventually. We sold that, put that cross up there, and we put baptistry rooms in there because we expect people to get saved and baptized. And that's our mission, not to play on a pipe organ. And so we did that, didn't we, Brother Joe, and the church? I'm just saying that survive to thrive, number three, because of God's producing through you, fruit through your life. Our theme we're coming up is bringing in the harvest, and we want to bring in a harvest. We've had 85 baptisms from the beginning of this year. People get saved, and then they come forward to declare their faith in Christ, and they do that by getting baptized. We've had 85. We haven't had baptisms recently, but I believe we're getting ready to bring the fruit into the barn. And you say, well, how can I do that? Realize that you are spiritually baptized into Jesus the moment you get saved. Now, you don't get saved by being dunked under the water. That just shows that when you got saved, you were placed into Christ. And now when Christ died, that means you died as far as your old life. When he was buried, you were buried. And when he rose, he came. You know, these girls were invited to a drug party and a drinking party. And they were texting the message, come to the party, here it is. And they text back, we can't come, we're dead. Well, they were telling the truth. If you accept Jesus Christ, your old person is dead. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. But through that, you can have God produce his fruit through your life, because now you're connected to Jesus. For 17 years of my life, I was connected to Adam, and I produced bad fruit. My father told me the looks I used to give him when I was 17 was not good. Bad fruit. But now, all the way from 17 through 37, where I am now, no, I'm just kidding. I've got some good fruit being produced. And Jesus put it this way in John 15, he says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Notice in John 15, we think of abiding in Christ, and that's true, but he says that you should go and bring forth fruit. You won't bring forth fruit of new disciples, Miss Judy, or any of you, unless you go and tell people, right, about Jesus. But if you do, he'll use you, and you will see fruit, and it will remain. People will get saved, they'll get baptized, they'll stay put, and they'll serve God. And you say, well, Pastor, how can I take root downward? That means you need to put your roots into God and into his word. And I would encourage you, the Bible says when people got saved, they got baptized right after they got saved. If you've been saved, you should come forward and get baptized. And then they joined the church. You should join the church. And then the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What does that mean? That meant they came to Sunday school and were taught. They came to church and were preached to. They came out. They stayed with. You know, I have a thing, three to thrive. Come out Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. You really want to grow. Amen? Four more to win that war. Then go out with somebody and go soul winning. And have a time to pray every day. Have a time to read the Bible. We have a reading program. Go through that Bible. How many of you are reading with our reading program? That's a great thing. It'll help you to thrive. Why? You'll take root downward, down into God, down into the Bible. Too many people are, like one person said, I learned how to raise my children from watching the nanny. God help us. When I heard that, I decided to preach and teach on Wednesday night. How to raise children, how to have a marriage, how to have a family. That's what we're doing on Wednesday night. Building your life on something. Americans and professing believers in America. Take root downward. And then it said you can bear fruit upward by doing the gospel ministry, the Great Commission. Giving out. You take in like the roots take in from the soil and then they bear the fruit. Man, I walk by my house. There's a guy by my house. He's got a normal house, and he plants all this prop. Instead of having grass, he just got all this stuff. You should see the pumpkin this guy grew. It's like this big. It's humongous. It's got to be the world's largest pumpkin. But I'm just saying, that's what God wants you and I to do. He wants us to take root downward. I am saying, I believe that God will give us time if we're serious about, listen, surviving to thrive. God will give us, if we don't, then this election, and I'll just put it right where it is. If you get Kamala Harris, you deserve her. She believes in mutilating minors' organs that reproduce. She believes in that. She is for that. She believes in taking away Social Security, even though she said she doesn't. You say, how could she believe in taking away Social Security from American people? Because she's letting so many people in, you can't keep up the Social Security. It's impossible. It just won't work. She's lawless. These people hate America.
Right.
She hates America. So does this Walls guy. Puts tampons in boys' bathrooms? They don't need that. They're boys. Get a clue, Walls. I'm just saying, this is important. I'm asking God that we can survive this so that we can thrive because of God's protective power, seeing us through, because of God's prophetic pattern and plan, and because of God producing fruit through your life. May God help you to survive, to thrive. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed this morning. I want to ask you a first question this morning.